This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
6:09, Paul Conrad normally starts the week. He's off for, I don't know if he's off for the whole week or a few days. That Channel 9 morning TV schedule, I don't know. Have you ever, I mean, you're over there all the time, obviously. You just came off working the whole weekend.
Yeah.
The Channel 9 morning news, do they get like 6 months vacation or something?
They get, I think, the allotted time. They've all been there many years, so they get, I think, 4 or 5 weeks.
Work a day, take off a day, work a day, take off a day.
Paul might have a different situation going on, though.
Paul, well, listen, Paul does have a different situation going on between his ears. The news of the weekend, is a lot of it is political, and Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton had a debate last night. It's funny, when I tweet out the Democrats' debate, it gets very little traction. The Republicans' debate, everybody goes bananas.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a moment last night, Russ is producing the program, because Kevin left us. No, Kevin is on with Roe for a couple days, doing sports. Russ, when you get a chance, pull that clip of Bernie, tell me when you have it, of Bernie shushing Hillary.
Oh, yeah, the let me finish.
Yeah, and I have a question about that, which you will need to answer for me. Well, Mary can chime in on this as well. By the way, Mary, welcome back.
Oh, thanks. Great to be back.
Where'd you go?
I was on Sanibel Island.
Wow.
Yeah.
We weren't.
I know. I missed you.
Came back just in time.
did you guys behave?
Well, we missed you, not even sort of.
Come on.
Yeah, we saw a lot of pictures of you, Mary, with cocktails in hand.
Yeah, that seems to be the theme of the whole vacation. Well, my daughter and her girlfriend were with us half the time, so, you know, the girls had to, you know, go out and have a few.
How old were your kids before it was okay to drink with them?
Which kid?
Which kid, which drink?
I guess with my older kids, you know, we waited a while. With Will, it was like, oh, he's 14 here. No, I'm kidding.
Right. Well, you got to start him at some point.
I know.
Dave, did you go through that where suddenly you look at your kids and you go, wow, they're drinking?
Well,
and it's legal.
It was sort of like overnight. All of a sudden, they are of legal age and sit down and have a beer.
Or
Ross,
two, or three,
Ross
or four.
Doesn't drink. Amy drinks like a fish.
She Ooh. Does not.
Unbelievable.
Poor Amy. She's sleeping.
She had a martini this weekend.
Oh.
And there was just a point where I was. This is one of those weird parent moments. Of course, she is 29, so
right.
Maybe I'd get over it.
I remember my first martini. Not good.
And it was called the knockout martini.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's 6:12. My friend Nick DiGilio is going to hang out with us. We got a little station thing going on later today. And
yeah.
Instead of going home, going to bed, coming back, I insisted Nick hang around.
I appreciate that.
So what time will you doze off during the show, and should I be offended?
About 5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay. But what about the offended part? No?
Oh, you should okay. never be offended, Steve.
Okay, okay.
No, I'm here, man. I'm going to be wide awake.
And I want to ask you about Whiskey Tango, Foxtrot, Frizzenglajen, Farfignugan here in a few minutes as
yeah.
well.
Cool.
Before we do anything else, the major news, as I said, of the weekend being political, Ted Cruz has emerged as a possible alternative to Donald Trump. And, of course, the larger question there was, and this is good news, John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, who has been identified as the grown-up in the room, I think, frankly, first by me. I'm the one that called him a grown-up first.
I think you did.
He will be on with us at 7:40 this morning. He is in a must-win Ohio situation. The Rubio situation is not good when he's doing a victory dance over winning Puerto Rico, who can't vote in the general election.
Right.
The delegates count, but the general population cannot vote. Rubio has to win Florida. Here's the problem with Rubio winning Florida. One of Trump's largest constituencies are old white people. There's a lot of them in Florida. Mm-hmm. Secondarily, Rubio not running for Senate again and not showing up for the vote many of the times while he's in Senate, the people of Florida don't feel indebted to him in any way or don't feel like they need him. So if they don't need him and mostly older folks vote in primaries, how's that going to work out for Marco? Not great.
You're going to see all the candidates, most of them, too, in Chicago this week. Bill Clinton's in town tomorrow. Kasich has events tomorrow.
Andrea, give me a call. Give me a call, Andrea. I gave you my number.
No, we took
three different times.
I got a pretty close picture with him. Trump having a big rally at UIC on Friday.
Great. Is he
moving on?
Is he going to talk about his words?
Did you see what people were doing?
He has words. You know, Trump has words. He has the best words.
Did you see what people are doing?
The Trump salute.
No, people were ordering tickets to the rally, and then are not going to show up.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because they want empty. They want empty seats. People are, by way of protest, because the tickets were free. So people were going to the website buying batches of tickets, and they're not showing.
That's interesting.
Oh, let's see how many people show up. That will be interesting. Cruz is also in town on Friday as well.
And again, that's a good thing.
I'm just telling you.
So here's the clip from last night's debate, and I'd like to get the two Marys and Andre in on this. Now, keep in mind the barking at each other you've heard in the Republicans debate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was from last night's debate. Obviously, it's just Hillary and Bernie Sanders. Well,
where some of your friends destroyed this economy.
You know.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Let him sprung.
That's kind of getting some internet juice this morning as being a sexist move by Sanders. She's running for president. Why is it sexist for him to say, excuse me, I'm talking?
I mean,
how did it hit you?
Honestly, as soon because I watched it. As soon as I saw that happen, I thought that was condescending and rude.
Okay.
I didn't think sexist. I just thought condescending and rude.
Do you have the same impression? And I'm not judging. I'm asking. Mm-hmm. Do you have the same impression when Trump and Cruz and Rubio do that to each other?
Interestingly, no.
Yeah.
And I'm admitting it.
Yeah, which is good. Mary, same thing?
Yeah, same thing. I didn't think it was sexist at all, but I didn't see it, but I just heard it. So
sounded rude to you, too?
It sounded too quick. It was like she only kind of started to talk a little
bit. Excuse me, Mary, I'm talking.
Yeah, I mean, if she did it twice, but she only did it once. Calm down.
Right. Sandberg, what'd you think?
I like to use the sexist accusation to my benefit when it, you know, like if it applies to me or not. So,
right. Did it feel sexist to you at that point? Not
it,
to you?
It did, because she's an annoying woman.
So you thought it was sexist? She was sexist against Bernie.
Yes.
In a response?
Yes.
Well, see, I didn't see that coming. So, but the your response, Andrea Darlis, is mm-hmm. what the internet's response seems to be.
Right. It's rude and condescending.
So I would say we have a double standard.
We have a double standard. I don't think it was sexist. I think he just was being rude. But then you're right. When you bring up, if Rubio did the same thing to Cruz, I would kind of go.
And it's hard to use Trump as an example because, you know, if you say, you know, is it rude or sexist to be rude or sexist to Trump? And that's a guy can't be sexist to a guy. I get it. But you know, understand the point,
mm-hmm.
the parallel.
Right.
But the internet says you're right.
Yeah. Good.
Maybe you and the internet could get together later.
We'll hang
out.
Yeah. Have a few cocktails.
617 is Whiskey, Tango, Foxtrot, and other things worth your time. And Peyton Manning's retiring today. Still coming up. Let's get traffic from Mary. Mary's back from her sabbatical. Hey. 622. We'll spend a little time this morning talking about the passing of First Lady Nancy Reagan, who I believe graduated from the Latin School in 1938.
I think you're right.
I think
yeah,
that's about right.
It was the Latin School.
She was born in 21, so.
So that would make sense,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, into high school. And spent her formative years here, as did Hillary Clinton, the senator from New York.
Nice. That was nice. What?
But Nancy Reagan, really, really harshly judged in her time, and now the things she was judged for are just regular parts of life.
Mm-hmm.
But fiercely devoted to her husband, well documented to be one of the great love stories to ever occupy the White House, and probably in most places. It's interesting to note there's not a lot of talk about their kids or grandkids. They had sort of troubled adult relationships with their kids, but the grandkids are never really part of the conversation either.
No, and they've kind of been, I saw a couple of sound bites from one of the granddaughters over the weekend too, yesterday, talking about her grandma. And then
was it like we spent time together and we did this or that, or was it just she was a neat lady?
She was a neat lady, kind of the obligatory. But did you see, I didn't realize this, her last public appearance was, I think, a year or two ago.
2011.
Is that far back?
Yeah.
And she was in a wheelchair.
Very sad.
Just breaks your heart. She will lie in state, by the way.
And, you know, depending on your set of beliefs, hopefully she and Ron together now are plotting on how to stop Trump. All right, I'm going to leave it alone. I really am. We're going to try. At 623, congratulations to Enit to Win It. The Enit to Win It team lived to show up at work today. How do you feel?
I actually feel okay.
You're in great shape for an old guy.
Well, It said on my, you get a receipt which has your time on it, and it said I was 16. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, so nice. I look awful for a 16-year-old. Yeah. But
I was actually timed once doing it, and they gave me a 2K's calendar. yeah. Nice. It took me a little longer.
And we had a great turnout from a lot of people from the station came
including President DeCastro.
Yes, our president and general manager, Jimmy DeCastro. And I think you can appreciate this, that he kind of was out there leading the charge, getting everybody
fired up. Well, Dave, too, gave a speech before we went out.
Did you?
Yeah.
You gave a speech?
He fired us all up?
Well, it was kind of
like a coach's speech, kind of a Lombardi kind of
thing? Yes, it was kind of out of Friday Night Lights.
Yes. Wow.
Like a limerick?
It was very good.
No, not a limerick.
Limerick? Like, here for the ones who
smile
live.
And life's worthwhile.
Yeah.
It didn't rhyme.
Once was a man from Nantucket.
Who decided to climb the stairs.
And said, bless.
On Tower One, he had some fun. Mary, how do you feel?
I feel fine. Thanks to Dave. Dave this year got me through because I was dying. I think I just had a little too much fun on vacation.
Did you carry her at some point?
He almost had to. Yeah.
No, there were a couple times I got a little concerned. Mary was hands on knees, bent over.
It wasn't that bad.
No. Well, no, I mean, you were kind of catching your breath.
I was catching my
breath. Yeah, I did too.
She was kind of catching her breath and hands on knees, bent over, nearly dead.
To the presidential towers, they decided to paint the stairs, evidently, before this event. So the fumes were a little bit intoxicating.
That's horrible.
Are you serious?
It was that fresh paint smell.
Fresh paint.
Plus, weren't people getting sick?
No, but you know, it is very warm in those stairs. There's not a lot of ventilation at some point. And then
that's the worst idea ever.
That's a really bad idea.
Well, I don't know. I mean, after a while, it doesn't bother you.
Well,
but
sure, because you're stoned.
I think I felt, really did feel a little constricted in the throat at some point.
Kevin Powell, who doesn't
Kevin
get
did
up.
Awesome.
Kevin Powell, who doesn't get up anymore. We'll be on after 9 o'clock this morning. He's doing Sports Row for a couple of days.
Oh, he's going to join the show?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's going
to
be
And he gets to sleep in.
Can he fit it into his schedule?
Well, we'll find out. But he got pantsed by DeCastro.
He did? No, de-pantsed.
Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
No, he put a pair of pants on Kevin. So Kevin, hang on a second. You need another pair of pants.
Kevin, what's your waist size here? Slide these up.
Wait, was it the full pantsing or was it the...
I believe Kevin fought him off.
Yes, he did.
While I was trying to do the sports with Dean, a few feet away, there's Jimmy and Kevin and there's
Jimmy
this commotion.
Jimmy was goofing around, you know. And
Jimmy cares about what's on the air.
Yes, he does. As long as it doesn't involve him having a fun time.
Right. It was just talking about sports anyway.
But we had Justin Kaufman, Marcus Leshock from Channel 9 came over, was part of our team. A lot of the folks from
Channel
sales.
9 were kind of deadbeats. How many Channel 9 people showed up? This, by the way, being from me, said from my summer home.
We shot it, though, because I was working with two photographers, and they called one off to go shoot Gaga. Sorry, Dave. And they shot... They pulled the other one off to go shoot you.
Gaga wasn't at the stair climb.
She was at the polar.
I know.
Gaga and Al Roker, Hollywood's new hot couple, went into the water. Why was Al Roker doing it?
I don't know.
Did you see that Lady Gaga and Lady Gaga and that dude from one of the Chicago thing?
Yeah. Taylor Kinney.
They made the kiss cam at the Hawks game.
Wait, one of the guys? That's Taylor Kinney.
I don't watch. I don't.
Oh, God. That's like saying, who's Brad Pitt?
I had Taylor. I didn't have Kinney to block. I just had Taylor as well.
But they made the kiss cam.
But she wore her Blackhawks hat at the Polar Plunge.
Yeah, I'm sure that's hers.
That's her?
She did.
Yeah, I'm sure that wasn't given to her.
Did she sing before she went in?
Apparently, he's a big Hawks fan, and she's, because of him, is now a Hawks fan
as well.
How can
you not? I mean, live in Chicago.
And
you're not
she
a Hawks
did
fan.
Ask him if she could get the Blackhawk hat wet or not. She asked the boyfriend, I guess.
See? She said she loves Chicago. She loves being here.
Well, we love her, don't we?
Yeah.
Don't we love Gaga?
They have a condo.
I like Al Roker more.
You don't like Gaga?
No.
Oh, Gaga's awesome.
You gotta like the voice.
Come on.
The voice is amazing.
I will never forgive her for what she did to David Bowie on the Grammys.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
It was horrible. It was horrible, horrible, horrible.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I'm one of the only ones that agrees with Nick at this point. I thought she was spazzy. She
wasn't
just so spazzy.
She wasn't trying to be. She was trying to tribute him.
Whoever planned it, whoever thought it was a good idea to do that tribute. It was a bad medley. I expected Donnie and Marie to come out on stage at any moment.
Hey, easy on the Donnie.
Yeah.
You know, Donnie, I keep Donnie in the closet here. He'll pop out and he will beat you within an inch of your life.
Well, it would have improved. I'm saying that if Donnie and Marie would have came out, it would have been better.
She did need some help. There needed to be someone else in that medley.
By the way, typical Steve Cochran show, this discussion started with Nancy Reagan's passing and ends with a discussion of Lady Gaga and Donny Osmond. It's 6:28. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Steve Cochran Show continues, number 602. Nick DiGilio riding shotgun this morning. Special guest Nick, a little inside baseball here, but we have a station meeting at noon how we are going to continue to crush all opponents. So fear should be stricken in their hearts right now.
Terrified. They're all terrified, Steve.
So Dr. Kevin Most joins us now. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm fine, Doc. And you are presented by Northwestern Medicine Impact every day. Did you have a nice weekend?
I did. Hey, you know, so nice Sunday. Went out to the golf course with the brothers and the dogs and just played quick nine. So it was great.
Were there pins in the holes?
No. Yeah. Temps. Yep.
Yeah. I walked nine yesterday with a 4-iron and 3 golf balls.
Yeah.
And
not bad.
No, it's perfect.
Nice to get out and walk around and swing it.
Yeah, so. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have. Doc and I just like to get together and talk a little golf.
What happened the weekend? Yep.
Let's talk spring break. Spring break is right around the corner, and you know, every spring break it's the same old thing. Dave and I go to Fort Lauderdale and we pick up chicks.
Yep.
And drink like crazy drunken sailors.
Right. And Dave, of course, 3-time winner of the Fort Lauderdale wet T-shirt contest.
Yeah, but now we go to South Padre.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Yes. But we're talking about spring break for families mostly, right? Is that where we're headed?
Well, we can talk on, you know, the drunken stupor things as well. You know, we'll go wherever you'd like to go.
All right. Well, let's start with drunken stupor. I mean, people, look, what can you say other than don't be an idiot?
Yeah, you know, there are a couple things. You know, certainly you don't want to say don't be an idiot because you're talking about college-age kids. And, you know, unfortunately, when you're intoxicated, you make bad decisions, and some of those can really hurt you. But so it's all moderation. But one I would like to really highlight is, you know, the people who think they're really smart and they say, oh, you know what, I know I drank too much. I'm going to prevent the hangover tomorrow morning. I'm going to take a couple Tylenol before I go to bed. And that's the absolute worst thing you can do. And people should know that combination of alcohol and Tylenol should not be put together.
By the way, Nick is here and Nick is shaking his head. But Nick is a former professional drinker. You know
more
about
this. 9 months
Friday.
9 months
Friday. Hey, congratulations, man. Good for you.
Thank
you. Proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, and I know all about, I'll do that. I'll be fine in the morning.
What about the other hangover cures? Does any of that hangover over-the-counter med stuff work?
Yeah, but first, let's just go back to the other for a second, because people need to say, oh, well, he just doesn't want people to feel good in the morning. But they have to realize that the combination of Tylenol and alcohol have actually been shown to cause liver damage, excessive liver damage, as well as kidney disease. So you really have a higher chance of kidney disease if you can combine those two. So you definitely want to stay away from those. As far as hangover, you know, there's everything in the book. You can read and people say, you know, everything from tomato juice to greasy foods to exercise to coffee.
Raw eggs and a glass full of vinegar.
Exactly.
I went straight to hair of the dog in my days.
Just drink again.
A lot of people, yep.
That's how bad it was, man.
Yep. And so really the only thing that's really been shown is that you do have a portion of your body gets dehydrated during this time. And so you wake up and you'll often be dehydrated. People have had this before. They'll wake up and they're really just kind of achy and their mouth's dry. A lot of that is can be at least taken care of by fluids in, you know, take Gatorade. I'm a big Gatorade fan. You get some electrolytes back, you get some sugar back, and it'll help with your dehydration.
Let's talk about travel, too. When you go to someplace super sunny, which is kind of the idea of spring break, Andrea?
Yeah, Doc, I know a lot of people. In fact, a friend of mine just came back from Florida and said, oh, I wanted to really just get tan. You know, we're white. You got to put the sunscreen on, especially first time back in the sun after being in the cold, even though we had a mild winter.
Yeah, and Andrea, there's probably another thing about that as well. A lot of people say, oh, I got to get a base tan before I go. So, you know, they're going to go to these tanning booths or tanning salons and sit in these beds and say, I'm going to get my base tan before I go. And people should really know, tanning booths, tanning salons, this is just my personal opinion, should be shut down. They can cause skin cancer. They are not good for your skin. So don't go get that base tan. That's probably the worst thing you can possibly do. Your skin has not seen a lot of sun for the past few months. And like Andrea, like you said, really the importance of wearing sunblock is probably key to most people traveling right now.
Well, that may be your opinion, but that also seems to be backed by studies we've seen with regularity, right? That the tanning booth thing is not exactly the healthiest move you're going to make.
Absolutely. You know, it's to a point in the state of Illinois where you can't be in a tanning booth under the age of 18. So, you know, here we at least have taken some steps to minimize that because we know that those burns in young childhood are the ones that are actually going to end up causing skin cancer later, as well as continued exposure. So, you know, if you go to Florida and you come back, and none of us did, and you come back with a tan, do you think we're going to be impressed? No, we're just going to be mad at you for being in Florida while we were here. So, you know, really protect your skin, especially those first couple days, because really you can do some major damage.
Story of Mary's Monday.
I'm mad because I just came back from Florida. And I don't even look tan. My own mother yesterday, she goes, you don't even look tan. I said, thanks, Mom, because I wore 50 the whole time, like I should have, because I get sun poisoning. And I did not want to get the sun poisoning, so I wore 50 proof all week, and I got a little bit of a tan, didn't I? Sort of?
Yeah, you look fabulous.
But Mary, answer the question exactly right. You should say thank you, because healthy skin is not tanned skin. Tanned skin is skin that's actually damaged.
No, it's not a guess.
I know, but we look healthier.
It's not a guess. It's true. Well, you look healthier, but you're dead by noon.
Jeez.
And not to rat Mary out, but you know,
look
you're
good
not
in my coffin.
Not to rat Mary out, but you know, you're not supposed to get a base tan.
Well, I had to get that for some other reason. I did have to. I got a spray tan before I went, but that was
what about spray tan?
Spray tan's not as bad. I mean, it's essentially painting your skin, to be honest with you. So, you know, it's covering some stuff up, and it actually some people will say that the spray tan actually is almost like a little bit like a sunblock. So as long as the right particles are in there, it can actually help a little.
So that's what happened. That's why I didn't get a tan, because I got a spray tan before I went. Right, Jack?
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
You use the same thing Trump uses? His is Tangerine 104.
Oh.
It's 6:46. You're spray tan Mary with your traveling.
Oh, I get it. Oh, no, sorry.
Dr. Kevin Most, Impact Every Day. From Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Single Day. How are you, Doc? You still good? You still good from the last segment?
Yeah. Didn't fall asleep. Is Nick still awake? Wake
Nick's
up.
Good. What happened?
Nick's good.
Okay. Nick's good.
What?
Hey, Doc, I think I gave, didn't I give you a couple of my pillows?
Yes, you did.
And?
Oh, they're awesome.
There you go.
They are awesome.
And he's a medical doctor.
Yeah.
That's not an endorsement. That's an opinion. But he's a medical doctor. All right. So let's get back to spring break, if we will. Traveling, Zika virus. Concern or not concern?
Well, if we all have to, you know, you're seeing so much about it in the press and you're hearing so much, but we really have to put it in perspective. And the Zika virus, really our only concern is women who are of childbearing age and women who may be pregnant.
Or might be someday?
Well, not so much someday, just during that time.
Okay.
So it's not like you're going to get the virus and you get pregnant 2 years later, you're going to have problems. It's the actual live virus that's causing the problem. But 80% of people who have the Zika virus will never know they had it. 20% are going to get some muscle aches, some pains. They'll get a red eye. They'll get a little bit of a rash, but really self-limiting and nothing else. The concern is that this virus has the ability to cross the placenta and get into a fetus and causes something called microcephaly. So really, it's those women of childbearing age. And right now, we really don't have our arms around it very well. So my recommendation would be anybody of childbearing age, anyone who's pregnant or trying to get pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant, I would stay away from those endemic areas right now. So I would change your trip from the Caribbean to Mexico, or, you know, from the Caribbean or Mexico, and come domestic, to be honest with you.
So it's a concern, but it's only a concern in those circumstances.
Correct. Really, if you're a 50-year-old and you're going to be going, you know, down to Mexico with your wife, go right ahead. You know, the chance of that happening, of any problem there, you're not even going to have. Because if you do get it, like I said, most people aren't even going to know they have it. And if you do, it's going to be some muscle aches.
Okay, speaking of muscle aches, Doc, so I'm going to be in Arizona in a couple of weeks. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go hiking. I'm going to go golfing. And maybe those of us who haven't really been working out every single day should probably take it easy first time out as far as stretching and whatnot, right?
Yeah, ease into it. I mean, even, you know, the walk up Camelback is not that severe, but to be honest with you, it can take a couple hours. Chance of getting dehydrated is not good, and you really do need to ease into it. So, you know, if you're going on a trip where you're going to say, yosh, I'm going to spend a whole bunch of time outside for this next week or 10 days prior to spring break, get out for walks in the evening so that you're getting used to it, because a lot of us have been very sedentary during the winter.
What about going, again, we're back in Mexico, going to Mexico and the old adage of don't drink the water?
Yeah, you know, there's some areas of Mexico, obviously, that you can drink the water. You know, Cabo is fine. They have their own water purification. Many hotels now, advanced hotels, have water purification. But you still, on the street vendors and some of the ice will still have that bacteria called E. coli, which causes travelers' diarrhea. So be very careful, you know, drink bottled water, be very careful on street vendor foods. There is treatment for it, a medication called Cipro. So if you talk to your doctor, perhaps he will give you a prescription just in case. Then you can also, if you don't want to do the antibiotic portion of it, you can do the Pepto-Bismol and Kaopectate to help prevent it. But just be careful, because although they're, you know, an advancing country, they still have this issue.
Last thing, traveling with meds, which, you know, most people are going to carry something. What can you carry? Are there restrictions? What are you likely to be busted for? And here's the thing. You don't want to go through TSA screening and suddenly you have to open up your pill bottles and they go, what's this? Well, that's my Viagra. That's my, you know, whatever.
Right. So a couple issues there. One is, be kind of careful. With as many people who travel at spring break, the chance of you losing a bag for a couple of days is fairly high. So I always tell people, split your medications into two stashes. Bring one on your carry-on, put one in your packed bag. If you lose either one, you're still going to have the medication. The chance of losing both of those is very low. The other thing I tell people is make sure you have a list of your medications. A lot of people want to put it in their iPhone now, which is great. And I tell people actually to take pictures of their medication. So you take two of your pills, put one on one side, flip the other one over, and take a picture of that. Because nothing worse, I can tell you, people come to the office all the time and they say, oh, I take a blue pill for blood pressure and a green pill for diabetes. Well, that doesn't help us. But if we have a picture of it, we can easily identify that medicine. There are apps that we can put in the size, the shape, the markings, and it'll tell us what that medicine is. So be very careful and make sure you do that.
And what about just taking a picture of the label on the bottle?
You can definitely do that.
Yeah.
You just take a picture of the label on the bottle, because that gives us more information. It gives us the doctor's name as well as the pharmacy that you're getting it.
I'm a genius, aren't I?
Yep.
Really, that's unbelievable. And then the traveling packet, split it, you said. What else do we need to know?
Split it, and then really, you know, if you ever go to your doctor's office and he asks you, hey, do you want to sign up for our electronic chart that you can get on your phone? The Central DuPage happens to have a medical record called Epic, so I can have something called My Chart on my phone.
I use it. So it's great.
I can open up my phone right now, and I can tell you every medicine I'm on. I can tell you my past medical history and past surgical history, which is great. However, the other one thing I would recommend, share your password with your loved one. Nothing worse than you being unconscious, and they say, oh, yeah, he's got his medical records in his phone. And, you know, the FBI is not going to let us get into that. So allowing them or sharing your MyChart information with someone else allows us to make sure we treat you safely. And we want to know, is your appendix out? Is your gallbladder out? What surgeries have you had? And more importantly, what medicines and what allergies you have.
It's a good app. It takes about, you know, 2 minutes to register to, to get it and pay bills on it. I mean, it's all good.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are using it now, like you said, to pay bills. They're using it to communicate with their doctor. Instead of calling them, they can send them an email and wait for a response.
Which is great, because I email Doc all the time. I email him and go, hey, Doc, what are you wearing? Hey, Doc, what are you watching on TV? You know, that type of stuff. Really helpful, important medical exchanges.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He says awkwardly.
Yeah.
Doc goes, aren't we out of time? Yes, yeah, in fact, we are.
Seven?
Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, impact every day. Thank you, sir.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
6:58, news coming up. On Friday, General Michael Hayden was on, the former director of the NSA and the CIA, promoting his new book. He's great. We want you to hear the full interview on the podcast, but we're going to play back a chunk of that interview, too, coming up. Nick will review Wisco, Tangy, Zippy, Zoopy, Tango and Cash.
Oh, I wish it was Tango and
Tango,
Cash.
Whiskey, Tango, and Cash. Whiskey, Tango, Foxtrot, the new Tina Fey movie. And next hour, Governor John Kasich, the last hope for a normal Republican candidate. At 7:40, coming up on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Big guest Monday, John Kasich, governor of Ohio, making his last stand in Ohio. Got to win Ohio to stay relevant. Wins Ohio, and he's not going anywhere. Meanwhile, Coach Q will be on at 8:40, talking about the Hawks win. Dean Richards, of course. Maria Menounos after 9. That's her actual laugh.
And she's one of the nicest people ever.
She's a delight. And our friend Doc Emmerich, who on Friday got to achieve one of his great goals in life when he called an inning of Pittsburgh Pirates baseball.
I love that man.
Yeah. So we're very excited for Doc. We want to congratulate him and see how it went. All of that still to come. On Friday's show, Michael Hayden was on. General Michael Hayden, a decorated member of the armed services, rose to the level of 4-star general. He then, in his course of duty to America, became director of the NSA and director of the CIA and ran the two of those between 1999 and 2009. He knows where the bad guys are, and he chased them. And as one of the leaders of two of our primary spy organizations, he can speak to a number of things. I highly recommend his book. I only wish I had the title in front of me, because what I do is I write things down and then I throw them away. But I will get that for you in a moment. In the meantime, a clip from Friday's interview. And Ross, where can you get the full interview?
WGNradio.com, wherever podcasts are available. I love the iTunes app. I subscribe to the Steve Cochran Show on iTunes.
And TuneIn Radio is great as well.
Yes, it is.
All right, so here's a chunk from the Friday interview talking to Michael Hayden. I said, okay, well, what about this Trump thing where he says, we'll just kill the terrorist families?
No, Steve, I got asked that for the first time last week on Bill Maher's show, and frankly, I just thought I was observing that gravity exists. You know, if you drop something, it's going to head towards the center of the earth. I didn't think it was news. It's such a fabric of American military life, education, training, and ethic. And so the issue was, Mr. Trump said he is going to kill terrorist families intentionally. And I said, well, the American Armed Forces will not follow that order. It violates their personal conscience, their professional ethic, and oh, one more thing, the laws of armed conflict. And so this is an illegal order. It's not just that they have the option not to obey it. They are required by American law to actively oppose it and not do it. And like I said, I just thought I was pointing out the reality of gravity here, but it apparently made news.
And the obvious conclusion that you can draw from this is if you, as my general or as the commander-in-chief, ask me as a special operator to murder someone and I do it, I'm liable for that murder. You've now committed murder. It's an illegal act.
No, that's exactly right. And so, Steve, what I expect would happen if this scenario ever played out, the first time that order started moving downstream and hit somebody in an American military uniform, that somebody would simply turn to whomever delivered the order to him or her and simply say, this just isn't going to happen.
How much, and I don't want to make this about Trump because way too much of life is about Trump. I want to make it about you, your book, and your experience and what we need to know.
Okay.
But one final question about this. How much of my concern about Trump as commander-in-chief being dangerous because of his delusion, his denial, and his lack of knowledge is legitimate fear, and how much of it is just me overblowing it?
So here's how I express it, all right? If a President Trump would govern consistent with the language that candidate Trump has used during the campaign, you have every right to be very concerned.
So you certainly share at least some doubts about this, to put it mildly.
It put me down as undecided for a while.
Okay, yeah. Fine.
You were pretty vocal on why you back Apple in the fight over the iPhone backdoor, the situation in California. How come?
Yeah, Andrew, here's the look. We can argue this on constitutional grounds. You know, does the government really have the right to do this? I don't do that. I'm not an expert. We could do that balancing security and privacy thing. Big, important question. But I'm not going there for this one. Andrea, I'm looking at this in a narrow security lens. And I actually think if Apple is compelled to do what the Bureau wants them to do, and I get it. I know why Jim Comey wants them to do it, and he's got really good reasons. But if Apple were to do that, I think on balance, American security, forget privacy and lawfulness for the moment, American security actually suffers. Look, last two or three years, Jim Clapper, the director of national intelligence, has said the biggest threat to this country is cyber. Most technologists agree that what the government is asking Apple to do leads to a degradation of the technology that protects our communications in these Apple devices and, by extension, other devices. So here we are. Well, actually, the book's all about this, Andrea. Tough choices, nothing easy, always trade-offs. Here we are trying to make a trade-off for a legitimate criminal counterterrorism need, but the cost of doing that in making America and Americans less safe in the cyber domain may actually be cost prohibitive. And so on this one, I'm trending towards Apple, but it's on security grounds.
There is, to my mind, there is a communication problem that goes from our secret agencies, because if you're in the business at the NSA or the CIA or the FBI, you're not so concerned of going, are we getting our PR right? How much more important is messaging going forward so the public understands better what those agencies do?
Steve, great, great question. Kind of the last third of the book, I do some soul searching on it. In an ideal world, you know, espionage, which requires secrecy for its success,
right,
wouldn't be talked about at all. But I don't live in that world. We've never lived in that world. I'm not just a spy. I'm a spy for a democratic republic. And spying in a democratic republic needs some support and validation from the broader population. And here's the punchline, Steve. We used to think that if the president knew and some small committees on Congress knew, that checked the boxes. That was validation from the American people. And now, because of forces beyond our control, a shift in our political culture, a lot of good Americans, and I just don't mean the ones with tinfoil on their heads, I mean a lot of good Americans, think that what you just said, Hayden, that's consent of the governors. It's no longer consent of the governed. You may have told them, but you didn't tell me. And now, Steve, we are faced with the challenge. How do I tell Americans more of what we're doing, but don't cross the line so I make it not worth doing in the first place?
Show number 602, and that's one of my favorite interviews. So I hope you go get it in podcast form. It's Michael Hayden. The book's called Playing to the Edge, American Intelligence in the Age of Terror, and General Hayden. General Hayden is, you know what he reminded me of, Nick? Nick DeGilio's here.
Yeah.
Mark Rylance is so good in Bridge of Spies, and he won the Oscar.
Yes, he did.
But Rylance is a guy who looks like the least dangerous guy on your block. And in fact, he is a killer Russian spy. General Michael Hayden looks like Bob Newhart's less angry brother. And he ran the NSA and the CIA and could probably kill all of us with his bare hands.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a great interview from a guy who literally is a great American. It's not just the cliche. It's 7:18. Mary's back from Sanibel Island, looking fabulous with her
base tan.
Not so deep, dark tan.
Come on.
Just enough.
That's
and
right.
She is here with your traffic trouble spots at 7:18. Steve Cochran Show continues. We'll get to the Hawks replay in a second. Nick DeGilio's here.
Yeah.
Special edition of the Steve Cochran Show. Special before school edition of the Steve Cochran Show. No real lessons. Remember the after school specials? There was always a lesson. There's a lesson in this show somewhere, but usually it's buried, and I don't realize it until the show's over. In this case, the lesson is don't go to see Tina Fey's new movie.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I was very disappointed in it.
I'm disappointed because, listen, I want everything Tina Fey's in to be great. And this one I was hoping. This one felt to me like, okay, it's going to be serious with some laughs.
That's what they want.
Didn't get there?
No. It's a movie that tries to, like, have the cake and eat it, too.
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yes.
Based on a, was she a Sun-Times writer?
No, Trib.
Trib writer.
Yeah, Trib writer, and it's loosely based on it. They change a lot.
Like, oh, it's not
for
her
instance,
life story.
In the movie, Tina Fey is a TV journalist, and in real life, she was a newspaper journalist.
Right.
And they get a few of the things right, but... I've not read the memoir. I've heard people who've read the memoir and seen the film that they take significant liberties with the story.
What is it? One of these things where it's promising for 10 minutes or 30 minutes and then it goes south
at a click. It's a movie that is. I found the movie to be very schizophrenic. It was a movie that sometimes it wants to be like Catch 22 or MASH, where it is a serious film about. Covering war and about war itself and the effect that it has on people. And then, once it kind of gets serious and maybe is about to hit something, intelligent and thought-provoking, then suddenly they just throw in a bunch of Liz Lemon-like jokes.
So then it becomes
30 Rock.
So the director, the studio, whatever, got nervous and said, oh, this needs to be funny right now.
It was, Tina Fey was the one who wanted to make the movie, and she brought in Robert Carlock. Robert Carlock is her writing and producing partner, who wrote many, many very funny episodes of 30 Rock and the unsinkable Kimmy Schmidt on
Netflix. Yeah. It's a funny show.
It is. And, and those are all very light things. The subject matter does not involve death and war in Afghanistan. It's, 30 Rock is about making a late night show, with a lunatic as your star.
Right.
And so you can make these one-off jokes and they don't seem odd. Tina Fey clearly wanted to be edgier, wanted to be more human. But just at those moments where she might hit it, boom, the Liz Lemon stuff comes in. And it's just all these knockoff sitcom-like jokes and, smart aleck
remarks. That's where it dies.
Yeah.
Kim Barker is the writer
right.
from the Tribune, to give her appropriate credit. Has anybody heard her say anything about the movie?
I have not.
I haven't either.
No, I have not. But I
Whiskey
I was...
Tango Foxtrot, the initials WTF seem to sum up your review. Yeah.
It's yes. And it's also FUBAR.
For those of you not sure, go to your Urban Dictionary.
No, I was very disappointed in it, especially coming after some of the stuff that Tina Fey has been doing movie-wise. I mean, that last one that she did with Amy Poehler was unwatchable. It was unwatchable.
Yeah, I didn't like it. You liked it a little bit of it, right?
I did, yeah. I thought it was – it got a little – about an hour into it, I was at that moment, Nick, where I'm going, all right, enough. But there were funny parts, probably because I like both of them so much.
Yeah, I didn't think they were funny in it at all. Bobby Moynihan, to me, as the cokehead, was the funniest thing in that movie. And that movie was so bad, Kate McKinnon wasn't funny in it. That's how bad that movie is.
Kate McKinnon's the woman that plays Hillary, right?
Yes, on SNL.
Love her.
Yeah, she's
so people can make hilarious.
She's, Justin Bieber. She does Ellen, because I'm Ellen. And she did the thing on Weekend Update this past weekend where they did the obviously everybody's talked about this, the Flossie Dickey, the woman who lived to 110, and then was being interviewed by the woman who clearly the Flossie Dickey did not want her there,
no.
Didn't want her near.
Just get away. I just want you to leave me alone.
Exactly.
Somebody get me a cigarette and a beer and leave me to hell alone. Well, all my friends are dead. I should be dead with them.
That's right. Well, they did a bit on SNL, and I know it's got to be out there on the internet where Vanessa Bayer was. Interviewing Flossie Dickey, and Flossie Dickey was played by Kate McKinnon, and it is hysterical.
And what a great name, Flossie Dickey.
Flossie Dickey, 110. But no, so it's a very disappointing movie. The one to see from this past weekend, even if you don't have kids, was Zootopia. I mean, by far.
Yeah, you said it's great.
One of the most surprising
movies. And as an adult, you could go and enjoy it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I am a 50-year-old man who has no children.
But I'm not talking about immature people like you and me. I'm talking about regular adults.
Regular adults who have intelligence would enjoy this movie. It was much better than I thought it was going to be.
Would Flossie Dickey like it?
No, I don't think so.
No, Flossie's not happy about
Flossie Dickey wouldn't like anything.
I don't want to see no damn movie. I just want to die.
Get out of my damn room.
She is great. We're not kidding about Flossie Dickey, if you want to look at her.
I want John Kasich to be the next nominee of the Republicans and also to be the next president of the United States. Here he is.
Thank you, Arnold. Love you, man.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
18 years in Congress, two-time Ohio governor, action figure, John Kasich. The governor will join us in just a moment. And of all the Republican candidates, you know, people go, okay, we get it. You don't like Trump. You don't like Cruz. You don't like Rubio. Who are you supporting? If it's a Republican, yeah, of course I'm supporting Kasich, without a doubt.
Yeah, I think you're seeing that a lot and hearing that a lot more, too, that he is becoming a more viable alternative.
The reason that I believe Kasich, and by the way, I believe I called him that name first. I believe I called him the grown-up in the room before the rest of America jumped on that bandwagon. But the reason I like him is because he has executive political experience. And you could hate politicians all damn day if you want. But executive experience in getting the job matters. Add John Kasich on social media. We'll give you the campaign website as well. Good morning, Governor.
Hi.
Are you happy to have Mr. Schwarzenegger's endorsement? And would you ask him to beat anyone up?
Well, you know, I met Arnold in 2010 when I was running for governor, and he came in to campaign for me, and I was getting a lot of negative ads run against me, and I'm like a girly man. I'm like, Arnold, they're really beating me up. And he turns, he looks me square in the eye, and he says, John, love the beatings. Love them. And I've been loving them ever since.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, and we hope we can talk with some regularity here as this thing goes on, because you know, I think America needs you and needs you to win in Ohio. The polls have vacillated, but you're within shooting distance here at Trump. The last one I looked at, I think 2 or 3 points, depending on the poll. Ohio, of course,
we're going to win Ohio. We're going to win Ohio.
You're feeling good about it.
I feel great about it. We had a big rally in Toledo last night. Yeah, I mean, look, I believe the DNA of Ohioans is they're not going to go for Trump. I mean, look, Ohio's climbed out of the ditch. I mean, we're up 400,000 jobs. We're running balanced budgets, and everyone's being included. You know, the mentally ill, the drug addicted, and I believe you get a reward for that, and I think we'll do well. And here's the other interesting thing: I think we're actually doing really starting to climb in Illinois, and that's exciting as well. Because I mean, you know who. Who does not love Illinois, right? Who doesn't love Chicago? I'm going to Chicago here, I think, on Wednesday, and I just love it. So we are climbing, and I think what's finally happening is people are finally beginning to say, hey, we have problems, but is there anybody who can fix them? Because we do have real problems. And I think when you have a record of accomplishment, and let me tell you one other thing.
Yeah.
I'm the farthest thing away from being an establishment guy that you can find. I fought the establishment my whole life, and because I'm out there, you know, sticking up for the people who live in the burbs over there in places like outside of Chicago.
Right. Well, here's the thing that I think is going to be a huge challenge for the nominee, and let's say the nominee is you. How do you bring those anti-establishment types who believe Trump was the only answer in to unify the Republican Party? And then the rest of it, of course, which I believe you understand better than other candidates. You're not being elected president of the Republicans. You're being elected president of the United States, and you got to talk to both sides.
Oh, absolutely right. And look, there was one of these Fox News focus groups after the last debate, and there were three people there who raised their hands and said they had changed their mind. They were all for Trump, and they were all now for me. You know, people are pretty smart. They get a sense of what they want, and I think that that there's a situation where I can appeal to the Trump voters, but you cannot do it by, you know, insulting him. You have to appeal to them. Let me tell you real quickly. I was in Chicopee, Mass. Guy's in there. Somebody's in there saying, oh, it's John Kasich. He's running for president. Guy looks at me and says, you're running for president what? I said, I'm running for president of the Teamsters. He says, oh, good, because I'm for Trump. And I studied the guy, and I thought about him. And listen to him a little bit more. If I could explain to him how his life could be better specifically and what I have done in my career to improve the economic situation, I can get the Trump voters.
Governor, good morning. Why do you think you can convince Illinois voters to select you? Trump continues to pull high here. I know you'll be here. You'll be in Lisle and Palatine on Wednesday. But what are you going to say to Illinois voters to convince them to vote for you?
Well, look, I can't tell you I'm going to beat him in Ohio. I can't tell you what exactly is going to happen in Illinois. Look, here's, I think, what the problem is. People feel as though their jobs are not secure. They haven't had any wage increases. They put their money in the bank. They don't get any interest. Their kids are living in their basement after having gone to college with huge college debts. And they're fed up.
Right.
They go to the grocery store, and the people who are on relief are buying better food than they are. I mean, it's a lot of things that are stuck in their craw. The only thing that I can say that works for me is I grew up in that environment. You know, my little blue-collar Democrat town is exactly a place where people didn't have any power. So when I talk about how I'm going to give power back to them, how I'm going to improve the economy, they can hear that. And my greatest asset is I've done it both in Washington and in Ohio. And I think when you have solutions and a vision, that's what I think can work.
You were in Washington for a long time, and you understand that the three bodies have to work together. The idea that the Republicans currently in office want to negate the Supreme Court by not having the sitting president name a nominee is more of the circular firing squad that the party's become. What would you do if you were president now?
Well, the problem here, folks, is this. Look, the president passed Obamacare. He did all these executive orders. He's hacked everybody off in the Congress. And, of course, the Congress, I mean, you had a guy in the Congress that when he's making a State of the Union speech, he yells, "You lie," and then he raises money off of it. We have to have a president that can be patient and a president that respects people that doesn't think exactly the way that he does. We're not in a parliamentary system. Let me tell you, one of the things your listeners worry about, if they're young or if they're old, is Social Security. If anybody thinks that Social Security can be solved by just one party, they're crazy. You can't do it. You have to have both parties buy in. That's how we got the budget balance. We had both parties
right.
buying in. Now, we called the tune, and they went along, but you had to have some degree of bipartisanship to get these big things done. And so you have to just understand how the system works. So as a congressman, I learned to resent the executive, and now as an executive, you know, you complete the sentence. I won't.
Right. Right. No, I get it. But I think that's one of the keys to why people should take a longer look at you, because everybody wants to write off, well, they're in politics, so therefore they're a politician. You need to have common sense answers to things, real plans. But the executive political experience is a big deal. If you look at a governor's office, it's the same way the president's office is run. It's just in a state as opposed to the country.
Well, there's no question about it, and you have to be patient. You have to be patient with people in your own party who start, you know, going the wrong way on you. But I want to tell you guys something that I don't think it would have occurred to you. You know, the reason why I labored in obscurity and the reason why I really don't get the national attention now that others get is because I won't name call.
Right.
I mean, we have a system now where it's all about ratings. If you call names, you get on TV. If you propose solutions, you don't get on TV. What a hell of a situation, huh?
Right, right.
But I'll tell you what, I'm not going into the name-calling business. I'm just not going to do it. And because, you know what, I have my own reputation and my own legacy to preserve. And either I'm going to make it by raising the bar, taking the high road to the White House, because I'm not taking the low road to the White House. It's just the way it goes. But you know what? Down to four, I'm the only governor standing. We must be doing something right.
Governor, and despite not having a win during the Super Saturday caucuses or primaries, you're very confident that you could turn it around and surge ahead in the polls.
Well, we didn't even really make any effort in the caucuses because we have a campaign plan. We carry out the campaign plan. We actually got a lot more. We got a bunch of delegates that we never even thought we would get. And now in Michigan, according to a poll that just came out this morning, I'm in second place here in Michigan. I've risen just amazing how fast the rise has been. And when we win Ohio, it's going to be a whole new game. And if we can score delegates in Illinois, you know, it's exciting. Now, I'm not misleading you. Believe me, I actually believe this will happen. But I have to keep working. And I got so many town hall meetings, you wouldn't believe it. I'd love for you guys to come to one because you would not believe how amazing they are.
Yeah, and you can count on, you said that he will be in Lyle.
Yes, Lyle and Palatine, correct, Governor, on Wednesday?
I'm going to be at DuPage County, County Town Hall in Navistar at 10:30, and then I'm going to be in Cook County at Palestine. Is it Palestine or Palestine?
Palatine.
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 Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Palatine. Okay, yeah, that's at 1:30 in Cook County. God, Cook County. That's, like, really famous.
Yes. It is. Yeah, see if you can fix a few things while you're here. Before I let you go, and we've only got, like, 30 seconds here, I know, but yeah. my question is this.
I got a question for you. What are the Cubs doing this year?
The Cubs are going to win the World Series. Write it down. I gave you time to write it down. Is Donald Trump manipulative or is he dangerous?
I'm not getting into that, but you all figure out who he is.
All right, I'll we'll do our best. You. And listen, all thanks right. for the time. I appreciate it.
Loved it. Loved it. Thank you.
See you later. I promise you, I wasn't trying to get him to call him a name.
No, that was funny.
I think it's a legitimate question because he spends time backstage with him.
Yeah, and by the way, I like how you brought up as long as you're going to be in Cook County.
Yeah, go ahead and fix something while you're
here. We got a list. We got a couple of page lists.
A whole bunch of things that would need addressing. Like, the reason I like him is because he has had success as a governor. He had success in Congress, so he understands the way Washington works. You know, one of the things, people want instant answers, and that's not a bad thing. But instant answers don't come in politics. It's a grind. It's a slog. And you can't blow up the system with Acme Dynamite, Wile E. Coyote. It takes time. The greatest thing Trump has done is he has gotten more people involved in the process. The most frightening thing he's done is he's gotten more people involved in the process. It's 7:50, and we're going to get to traffic. And you have an official announcement?
The official announcement from the University of Illinois that Lovie Smith has been named the head football coach. The announcement made just a short time ago. As we mentioned at 7:30, Josh Whitman, the new athletic director, tweeted out a couple of pictures of himself with Lovie. And now the university has released a statement saying that Lovie Smith has, in fact, been hired. And we'll have more coming up at 8.
Join to your ILL.
ILL, Mayor. Woohoo!
INI.
All right.
This is weird, though.
This is going to be good, I think, don't you?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I do think it's... I think it's a good move for the program.
Yeah, I think it's a very good move for them, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure the guy that just got fired deserved to be fired. I think it was one of those things maybe in a Cubs vein. We had a guy that we really wanted, Joe
it's
Madden.
A great comparison, right? I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I just say yesterday after the climb, I was we were having a Bloody Mary and with some of the sports guys, and I said, did Lovie Smith even go to U of I? And they all didn't know where he went.
I don't know where he went. Was he a Texas kid?
It was
Big Sandy, Texas. Yeah, I think he's a Tulsa guy.
Something like that, yeah. And they all had to look it up and Google it. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But Dave, you would have known if you were there.
No, but he doesn't have to be alumni.
No,
I know. I was just asking the question.
I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, he went to Tulsa.
There you go.
Illinois needs a kick in the pants.
It's an upgrade in the program.
They do.
For 48 hours, people have been talking about Illinois football and in a more positive vein than I think they had in many years.
Yeah.
So I think from that standpoint, it's a
positive
thing. Bring on the love.
And he lost his job in Tampa by sort of the same method because they had a guy they didn't want to lose. So you sort of backdoored him.
That's right.
Sports.
It's tough.
Mary, traffic, what do you have?
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should.
Eight 11 in the morning. I think the greatest threat to Dean's live broadcast yesterday was president and general manager of WGN, Jimmy DeCastro. Is that accurate, Dean?
That is absolutely correct. We're in the middle of some very serious programming.
As you always do on Sundays.
He interrupted the broadcast and almost pulled the pants off of your producer, Kevin Powell.
That's right.
Nearly pulled them off. If Kevin hadn't been quick enough...
full frontal.
Shine on Harvest Moon would have been.
That's why I'm recommending that Jimmy DeCastro use the Steve Cochran HR app. It's an HR app designed here at the Tribune. It's got a convenient pull-down menu of whatever violations you've committed.
Don't
Careful,
say pull-down.
Yeah, no, not pull-down menu.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what? Now that I think of it, that may not have been the worst offense of the morning. As I was walking in before the broadcast actually started, we were doing the show in sort of this enclosed glass office area, And a bunch of the people on the Dave Ennett team were already assembling, getting ready to do the climb. Included among them, Mary Vandeveld and our engineer, Bill Murdoch. And as I open the door, I walk in, and the first thing that I hear Mary Vandeveld say, "Let me help you take your pants off."
Okay, Dean.
What?
Is that untrue?
Is that an accurate quote?
Let me explain.
Is it untrue?
Oh, there's no explanation needed. Save it for the trial.
Nick, poor Bill Murdoch.
Your witness, Your Honor.
He had sweatpants on with his gym shoes on, you know, his shoes. So I was trying with the elastic bottom on the sweatpants, you know, the old-time sweatpants, mm-hmm. and he couldn't get them off. And he had shorts on underneath, so I was trying to assist him.
Here's what I walk in. It's like you walk into a room. Let me help you take your pants off.
And take a look at your junk.
Well, I wasn't going to go that far.
Well, it's very nice of you, Mary, to be concerned about Murdoch's pants.
Well, he needed some assistance.
Here's an idea. Take his shoes off.
Well, he wasn't doing that.
Take
them
off like a grown-up.
He was struggling.
I like how Mary calls it the old-time sweatpants with the elastic band on the bottom. Yeah.
Quick show of hands. How many guys listening have injured themselves trying to take their pants off over their shoes?
My hand's up.
Yeah. Did I just mention I've been sober for 9 months? So, yeah.
That's a good point.
I had many, many times I couldn't get my pants off over my shoes.
And you would have appreciated the help.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't have appreciated helping me. Let me tell you that.
I helped you.
Mary's service is not taken off yet, but she does have an app for it again. It's Mary Takes Your Pants Off.
She's
come to your house and help you remove your pants.
Yep. Otherwise, it was a great really fun broadcast.
I felt a little bad because I think I brought a lot of sweat to your show yesterday.
You did. Yeah. You were by far. We give out an award every year, sweatiest person to be on the show. Mm-hmm. And Dave.
Normally it's Schwani, right?
who really didn't get out of his chair for the full 4 hours.
I just want to thank you all for giving me a half an hour's worth of content for my Friday morning show.
Yeah, well, you've got so many.
I appreciate that. Thank you very
tremendous.
Much.
No tremendous.
Problem.
Yeah. We continue with the Wintrust Community Banks Hour, coming up with Dean. Nancy Reagan on the Carson program. By the way, we haven't had a chance to talk much about this morning. But you think about the stuff that Nancy Reagan took heat for in the 80s. It's nothing now. And she was so far ahead of the game on so many different things. She's one of the first people to say, your prescription medicine cabinet is going to be your drug dealer in the future. Nobody agreed with her then. She took crap for that. Yep. She took crap for buying new china for the White House. And I think they were still using the Washington china, which was chipped from his wooden teeth.
Right.
Right. And remember she painted a room red, and then that became the trend to have, you know, the accent wall?
Yeah,
and
well, she also,
first.
And also the dresses.
Yeah.
It's celebrated now. How great does Michelle Obama look? How great did Laura Bush look?
She brought glamour back. She brought the same kind of glamour that Jackie Kennedy brought to the White House, you know, following the 40s, the 50s, you know, and she brought a new vibrancy to the office. You know, I think it's important to say, you know, I disagreed with lots of things that President Reagan did, political things. Those are political things, but I have nothing but respect for Nancy Reagan and her relationship with her husband, that loving relationship. I don't know how you can, you know, not say, you know, who doesn't want a relationship like
that?
That
was a real deal, man.
Yeah.
They're crazy about each other.
And love story. That's why I like when you call me mommy.
8:16, mark that down.
You forgot your mic was on. You know, but here's another one. Here is another one, and I've forgotten about this. When she had breast cancer, she decided to have a mastectomy versus a lumpectomy, and people gave her grief about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the idea that you you couldn't have a say over how you choose your medical condition now and what you're going to do about it.
Right.
Ridiculous.
With your body, with her body.
Yeah, just ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, that was one of the reasons that she, when they left the White House in 1989, they left in January. In November, she releases a book called My Turn. And she went on Johnny Carson to talk about how after 8 years she had to keep her mouth shut on so many things because she just didn't feel it was appropriate to talk about a lot of things, which she talked about in her book. But she appeared, you know, and Carson famously had done that Ronald Reagan impersonation
forever
on the Tonight Show. She goes on Carson's.
And again, that was an era where they weren't doing that all the time. Every candidate wasn't on. Every first lady wasn't on.
Very, very, very rare for those kind of appearances.
Well, let's play the clip when we come back. Let's get traffic and let's play the clip.
All right, mommy.
All right. Mary, you do the cars first, and we'll play this clip from Carson.
Well.
Well.
Here we are, home in California again. I must tell them what happened before the show.
Uh-huh.
Came to your dressing room to say hello, and you were on the phone to the former president, asking him to do what?
Get my dress.
Mm-hmm.
I'd left my dress at home. And I thought maybe I could borrow from some of you.
No. From Phil Donahue, you could, not me. Phil wears the dresses, not me.
Quick clip from the Carson program, yeah. Which, Dean, I forget, when is that on again?
It's on. Wait, let me check the tattoo that I have on my left buttocks cheek. You mean Antenna TV weeknights at 10 p.m., weekends at 9 p.m.?
Yeah.
So that was November of 1989. But I just think it's so funny. You know, you are formerly the most powerful man in the world, Ronald Reagan. You're sitting at home, and your wife calls you and says, I forgot my dress. Get in the car and bring it over to NBC in Burbank.
Yeah. And he did it.
Okay.
Do you watch House of Cards?
I do not watch House of Cards.
Okay.
I do not.
There's talk that, what's her name? The woman that plays the First Lady?
Robin Wright.
Robin Wright.
There's talk that Robin Wright was playing the characterization of Nancy Reagan for a period of time as well. All right. Stand by. More with Dean coming up. Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues. All right, Dean, so let's go over a couple of things here. We talked about the stair climb. We talked about Nancy Reagan. The obvious next thing is Lady Gaga jumps in the lake.
She was at the Oscars last Sunday and yesterday, right on the lakeshore with her boyfriend, her fiancé, Taylor Kinney from Chicago Fire.
Did you tell them that I can do their wedding? Because I'm an online minister.
I haven't yet, but I will definitely get the word to Taylor Kinney.
Here's how I see it working.
I can get the word to him, Dean, if you need me to. Just
either one of you. I do the wedding, but then Gaga calls me up during the reception to do a duet with her, since Tony Bennett wouldn't be available.
Right. Maybe right after the best man speech.
Right.
She says, wait just a moment. I've got a couple of things to say. Steve?
Yes.
Steve, will you come up here?
Right.
Like that? Something like that?
Yeah, and I think we sing that famous song they did in the bookstore. What's the one, that commercial where they're in the bookstore and they're both singing? And they accidentally bump into each other.
I really can't.
I think it's
say.
A Christmas standard.
You know how often you're in a bookstore and Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett are singing to each other?
Right.
Can
just because you and Dean do it. Come on.
Bookstore? What's that?
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, she jumped in the water.
She did the plunge with Taylor Kinney and the cast of Chicago's Fire, PD, and Law. So they did it. Al Roker from this little show called The Today Show.
You guys are killing them, aren't you, in the ratings?
We are killing them in the ratings. I mean, none of us have to go jump in the lake,
right?
You know, in order to get publicity, although it's a fantastic cause for Special Olympics. Had I not been doing my radio show, of course I would have been happy to do it. And I've been saying that for about 20 years.
Yeah, you'll get to it.
That's my excuse for it every year. But, it was nice. You know, it's a fantastic cause. You can't get any better than Special Olympics of Illinois. And it's always a lot of fun. And then Gaga and Kinney go to the Blackhawks game yesterday. They're watching the Blackhawks game, and they're put on the Kiss Cam. And they are, like, full-blown making out, on their moments on the Kiss Cam.
Made me uncomfortable.
And a little jealous.
I love Gaga. I do. I mean, I've come full circle on her. When she was wearing her ham pantsuit or whatever that thing was.
Right.
I thought, okay, she's nuts. She's trying too hard. But I love her voice, man. I think the voice is unbelievable.
She is an amazing, amazing, amazing singer and has got a great heart. She is constantly doing things for charity. So I'm 1,000% with you on that.
Lena Dunham from Girls, a show which I think it was Mark Carman admitted that he watched and loved. Beat on the weekend. I can't watch it.
Yeah.
It's just unwatchable.
I'm not a fan of it either.
No. And Lena Dunham apparently almost, she almost wasn't with us. She had a ruptured, ovarian cyst?
Ruptured ovarian cyst. She has
very dangerous.
Been struggling with endometriosis. She will have surgery to repair that a ruptured ovarian cyst, and so she was taken to the hospital on Saturday. Surgery, is going to happen very early this week. She's been very open about dealing with all of this, so, you know, wish her the best.
She's very open about everything, and some things, you know, you just don't need her to be that open. You know what I mean? I mean, I think it's great that she wants to show that everybody is beautiful and everybody ought to be, you know, treated appropriately and not just hot women in Hollywood. But how many times are you going to take your clothes off? I mean, stop it already.
It's a conversation you and I have had many times.
Oh, my God.
Nick's right. Nick just broke his pen trying to write down all the things that are going to be on Out of Context.
This is all gratis, Nick. This is all.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
I'm laying it on a little heavy for you today.
Right there.
Keep it all in one chunk for you to pull out.
Oh, my God.
What the?
His head's going
to
explode.
You don't have to do any editing.
His head's going to explode.
Just write, he's right, no editing. Just play the whole segment.
Just play the whole segment. Yeah, you don't have to edit any of this.
And finally, is there a future for Downton Abbey?
You know, for the first 6 months that that show came out, I actually thought it was Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey.
Downton.
Yo, butler, go get me something.
So it ended last night. The series ended last night. No spoilers. Not going to say anything that happened. Mostly I'm not going to say anything that happened because I have no idea what happened.
Yeah, there you go. It's easy not to spoil.
I didn't watch it. I've never seen one of them. I've just... not that I hate it in any way, I just have never had the opportunity to see it. But the show's creator is hinting that there will be a Downton Abbey movie. He says that it's extremely likely, and if he can corral the entire cast, he said it's mostly a scheduling problem. If he can corral his enormous cast, which is you know, now pretty big stars, if he can get them, you know, all lined up schedule-wise, then there will be a Downton Abbey movie.
The real problem is going to be incorporating the cast of Fast and Furious because they want to somehow have them involved.
That's right.
Fast and Furious 8, Downton Abbey.
You look up from your high tea and Vin Diesel is serving you cucumber sandwiches.
You know what? Nick can even make some of that. Coach Q is coming up. I'll talk to you later.
See ya.
That's Dean Richards. This is 720 WGN.
I'm your wicked Uncle Honey. I'm glad you won't see or hear me as I fiddle about. Your mother left me
fiddle about the Who, Coach Q's favorite band. Coach Q's show is sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. You know Hooters, it's a way of life. And as Coach Q joins us now, Coach, we missed a huge holiday yesterday. I mean, you know, for good reason, we were watching you guys. But yesterday was National Oreo Day.
He did not know that.
Oh, it's a huge deal. Is that your favorite cookie? What kind of cookie does a Coach Q like?
I used to like cookies. I try to stay away now.
Right, but when you have a cookie, when you let down the Q guard.
I like a nice warm chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, there you go. Can't beat that, man. Can't beat that. They don't have those at Hooters, do they? I don't think they do. I'm going to ask. Coach Q Show, again, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Here's the key to yesterday, Crawford in the power play.
And great start, kind of comparable the other day at Joe Louis, where we started well and got the lead. And then the second period, we kind of played too much in our own end and didn't have the puck enough. And then Corey was great in the second period again. And then our power play scored a couple goals just like the other night. So it was very... You know, very much the same script as the other game, and we're happy to win and happy to play with the lead throughout. And our power play continues to really be a big part of our team, and Corey's been reliable all year long.
And great job defending it, too, huh?
Yeah, always good to win, and always good to win at home. The crowd was very into it last night. You know, when we do play Detroit and we get together, it's a whole different animal because we only play them once each in each other's building as opposed to three or four times from the past. So it's a, you know, these games are fun to be a part of again and rekindle that rivalry instantly there when we get together.
Dave Ennett, say good morning to the coach.
Morning, Coach Q. Question about the power play. There has to have been something that's going on now with the power play that maybe hasn't been there. Is there anything you can kind of put your finger on?
Oreos.
right. Aside from Oreos?
Oreos, I don't know. But good morning. We feel that the one thing about the power play that's been different this year is we got two units. Both we're comfortable with starting and both playing. We get like 1 or 1A and 1B. And they've been both equally productive. I think our entries have been great. We got a shot first mentality. We have a net front presence on both units. Kaner's group, was a stretch that we're starting Kaner on, no matter who was on the power play. And, Laddie came into the lineup and he's been effective as well, being a net front presence along with Shazi and Isimov. So we've had some real good net presence, our entries, retrievals, possession, movement. And I think it helps for a 5-on-5 game because the guys that are scoring there, they're comfortable with their games.
Nick DiGilio is here. It's a special treat for you, Coach. He's normally not awake at this hour. Nick, you got a question for the coach?
I do. Good morning, Coach Q. My question is this. Was there ever a moment in your head when you were going to challenge the goal as being onsides or offsides during
When I watched it live, it looked like, man, that's so close, so close. And then everybody on the bench said it's close. And then we're reviewing it inside there with Matt. And he's looking at it. And one thing is it's a little subjective when it's goalie interference, but when it's offside, it's either offside or it's not. And so we figured if it's not offside and if it's that close, it's that close. There's no way you could magnify it. We didn't have any angle where you could magnify the view. But nothing that led us to say we could see any white, below the puck. So it was one of those that looked like it's like a 95% or 96.7% outside the blue, but it's not.
It was that was as close as you can get, man.
Really, as close as you can get without but there's a lot of those going to goal lines too that it looks like it has to be. But the other ones, there's a little, we'll put the referees in tune when it's interference, when you think it's interference. But we should know clearly if it's offside or not.
I don't remember. We talked.
Trickier is when you got your foot off the ice.
Yeah.
That it's in the air. And I think that's what we're going to get to between this year. And I don't know if it's going to start for the playoffs. But between years, I think they're going to have that where you got more clear. Both the feet being off the ice on replays.
It is, I think, if it's not the most difficult game to call in at full speed, I don't know that there's another one. I don't know what other game would be as difficult. So I give these guys a lot of credit. But is your perspective on the talent of referees and linesmen change from coach to player?
I'm going to say there's definitely different levels of referees as far as, you get your top players, you got your top referees.
Yeah, makes sense.
And same thing with linesmen as well. And I think there's some guys are more experienced, some guys are younger guys. Doesn't mean the younger guys are inferior. I think that there's some work to do as far as, that consistency that we look for in players. So it's kind of a comparable development chart that players and referees and linesmen all have to go through, and we kind of got to earn your stripes, but no pun intended. And I think it's this is a rule that really has changed the game or the way we look at the games, because we're all constantly saying, as soon as a puck enters the zone, say, look at that. We never did that in the past. Let's say we're trying to change a little bit of your tune and what you're thinking when you're watching a game.
Right.
Let's look ahead a little bit. 15 games to go. You're dead even with Dallas in terms of games played. Nobody's got a game in hand there. You each have 87 points. St. Louis is 2 points back. Now you're going to see both of those teams on the road. St. Louis
this week.
St. Louis Wednesday, Dallas Friday. Is this going to come down, do you think, Joel, to the last two, three games, the last game of the season?
I would say there's got to be something sorted out between the three teams right to the very end. Nashville is in the hunt, too. Don't discount them. So we'll see, but I expect something to be determined in the last game or two between the three teams you mentioned. It'll be a fun trip going into St. Louis and Dallas with the mums coming on our trip and two big games. And I would expect them to be excited as well as the group.
With the moms coming on the road, does that help or does that add a little more tension? Because I assume if the mom's yelling at the player, you're probably listening as well.
Yeah, just like when they're playing the squirt and peewee. And, yeah, but I think all the mums, it's a nice perk for both the player and the mums that they do get to come every other year, and the dads come every other year. And it's I think it's always fun to see the interaction between the two, and then when all the mums get together in the box and they get excited, and hopefully, you know, it's getting competitive winning records when the dads and the mums compare their records after at the end of the trip. So the mums had, I think, had a 2-0 trip, or the dads had a 2-0 trip, and the mums were 1-0-1 in their last trip. So
look at that!
That's right.
We'll make sure that you know, the mums will try to get even with the dads. I think they were 2-0 last year.
How about that? You just don't want any of the moms, and I'm not saying she'd do this, but say Mrs. Tara Vining going, "Coach, can I talk to you about the playing time for my boy?"
Yeah, that's one thing you don't have to worry about as a coach.
So
at our level.
Hey, did you notice Lady Gaga was at the game yesterday?
Yeah, I saw her Friday night, too. She was at one of the events that we had with the Blackhawks charities. So it was I saw her up on the screen. And now I'm watching her. I'm just watching the game last night, and they showed her up in the box as well.
I was told you met Lupe Fiasco as well.
Met the whole crew. The crew was there.
Did you know who Lupe Fiasco was?
I know what he looks like, but the name, I don't know. I like the name, though. I like the name.
Lupe Fiasco would be a great defenseman.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the best.
He might be a good centerman, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You probably saw something in him I haven't seen. Anyway, give yourself a warm chocolate chip cookie for the nice win yesterday. I'd say you earned it, and we look forward to talking to you. We may need to nag you later this week because I think we have a little announcement coming up later this week that involves you. It's nothing illegal, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. You know how much we enjoy it.
All right. Nags, and then we're talking horses. All right. All right.
Wow. To catch it. All right, whatever. Call me. Yeah. Hey, see you, man. Take it easy. Let's coach Q.
He's the best.
All right.
The officials hate it when the mums are on the trip. They get on the officials.
I'll bet. Sure, why not, right? .856 next hour on the program, Maria Menounos, Doc Emmerich, and if it's not too much trouble, Kevin Powell. He's tough to book, but we're going to try to get him. Nick DiGilio is staying up with us today for an event here later today that involved him being awake. There is an additional candidate we haven't mentioned that's running for president. Mm. Chicago Reader pointed this out this weekend. Willie Wilson.
Oh, right, of course.
Willie Wilson.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Willie Wilson in the story by Mitch Dudek in the Sun-Times, reprinted in the Reader, I guess. Willie Wilson was wearing a suit with an American flag lapel pin, stood in front of a pair of local reporters in a downtown hotel in Columbia, waiting to hear the results of the February 27th primary. The room was nearly empty. There were a few supporters and one Black Lives Matter activist. Not really paying attention to Willie, just talking. But the candidate for president, the 67-year-old businessman, who you may or may not remember, unsuccessfully challenged Rahm Emanuel last year. He got, were you even aware of this? He got 10% of the vote
in
South Carolina?
No.
He did?
I didn't know that.
Wilson for president.
Yeah.
10% of the vote. That's a big number.
It is. That's really kind of surprising.
Now, you know, we looked at polling in Illinois. Is there going to be a Willie Wilson insurgency here? Do we not know about this? Again, this is the Democrats' primary, so, you know, there's only a couple of them there. Now, he wasn't in the debate last night.
No, he wasn't.
By the way, Bernie Sanders didn't help himself a lot with the fact that he's not getting the black vote, where he talked about white people don't understand what it's like to live in the ghetto.
Yeah.
Well, nobody does. It's 2016, Bernie.
Right.
you know, felt like an episode of Good Times.
Is whatever happened to speaking of candidates that might be a little bit unusual? Whatever happened to the rent is too damn high, dude?
The rent is too damn high.
You don't remember the guy who ran for governor of New York, the African American guy with the crazy mutton chops, the gray hair? You know why? Because the rent is too damn high.
Oh, I don't know what happened to that guy. I don't remember. I do remember.
He
that.
Was like, the best. Man.
He was like the version that you saw in New Hampshire of the guy with the boot on his head.
Oh, yeah. That guy was not. This guy was crazy. Yeah. He's standing outside the Trump rally with a boot on his head.
Oh yeah, and he says that he will go back in time to kill ISIS. Is what he is
right?
The guy with the boot on his head.
He's going to time travel.
He was going to time travel, go back in time, and kill ISIS.
You have a Willie Wilson correction?
I do have a Willie Wilson. I'm looking at the story you're talking about, and it's a very poorly written story.
Right.
Willie Wilson got 10% of the vote when he ran against Mayor Emanuel.
Oh, that's not the presidential.
Yeah, that's not. But I can see how you, because I had to read that line three times too. I read it just like that too, and went back.
Because otherwise, I thought I'd lost my mind.
No. You're right on track right now. Anyway,
yeah, we'll lose my mind next time.
That's because the rent is too damn high.
Wintrust Community Banks Hour about to wrap up. We'll come back, get your news next on 720 WGN.
Live from downtown Chicago, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
9-11, Nick Nigilio's here, riding shotgun this morning. Nice to have Nick in.
Nice to be here.
Andre Darlis is here, representing all of Greek culture.
Yes.
Oh, wait, we've got another Greek on the phone.
Woo, my girl.
Maria Menounos standing by. How are you? What's happening?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're good.
Yes, us.
Yes, us. Tell her yes, us.
Yes, us.
That's good. That's a good thing.
That's a good thing?
That's a good
thing. I never know if you're trying to get me to curse. Maria, Maria Menounos, actress, journalist, television host, occasional professional wrestler of the line. So when did you wrestle?
Oh, my gosh. I wrestled many times. I'm undefeated in the WWE right now. I wrestled at WrestleMania a couple years ago and a few other matches prior to that. Oh, yeah.
I would have lined up for that. Would you have lined up for that, Nick?
I watched it. I saw it.
That's different than lining up.
Oh, yeah. I'd line up. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah. And in the middle of all of this work, she decided to go and write herself a book. What do the Greeks know about cooking, Andrea? Come on.
Oh, come on. I can't wait to get your recipes, Maria.
Thank you. You know, we invented cooking. We invented everything.
True that.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is most of the recipes are just super simple, fast, easy, delicious, and healthy, but I did throw in a spanakopita, and I will be demoing it on the Today Show tomorrow.
Oh, I love spanakopita. The hardest part, though, I think, is the phyllo dough.
No, the hardest part is saying it.
I know. It's a little complicated, so I actually shot a video of me and my mom making it so that anybody who's scared can watch us make it as they make it, too.
Is this Greek lasagna?
You're going to get phyllo.
No, it's spinach
pie. No, this isn't the Greek lasagna. Yeah.
Oh, spinach pie.
But it's really good because it's got tons of cheese on it.
Is there enough cheese to mute the spinach?
you can just have the cheese pie then. You don't need to put the spinach in.
No, the spinach is good. The spinach is good. So what's hard about the spanakopita? Say it again.
Spanakopita.
Spanakopita. What's hard about making it?
Well, phyllo dough is very thin. Like, think of like even thinner than a piece of paper. So when you have to butter it and then lift it and lay it into a pan, sometimes it'll rip, sometimes it gets stuck, and it's a little temperamental. But I show you step by step. It's all on. It'll all be on my website at mariamenounos.com. I'll have it up on YouTube as well. And you'll watch me do it on the Today Show tomorrow, too.
Pre- and post-workout smoothies. Are you a big smoothie advocate?
I love smoothies. I wouldn't say I'm an advocate because I do feel like they can run high on the sugar level. But, you know, there are good ones to have before and after workouts. So, yeah, I mean, it depends on what you want. Like, sometimes I just want, you know, something to eat. Sometimes I want something to drink. You know, I want it to be simple. So it's whatever you need in that moment.
What's your favorite smoothie, and is it featured in the book?
I have a coconut coffee almond frosty smoothie in there. I hope I got all the ingredients right on that one. But because sometimes I need a little caffeine, and I used to drive to work and have two different cups in my car. So one would be my smoothie and one would be my coffee. So we have caffeine smoothies now to kind of save you from that situation. So I like the coffee coconut almond frosty, but I have a matcha mango smoothie that's delicious, a tropical paradise smoothie, sweet beet and berry smoothie. I got lots of different
smoothies. This is like dirty talk to you, Dave. This healthy food.
These are great. Some great suggestions.
This is the closest thing you're ever going to come to phone sex with Maria Menounos. This conversation right here.
Always looking for new ideas for my smoothies. So,
well, there you go. And it's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's on sale today everywhere, wherever books are sold. How many of these are your mom's recipes?
Oh, they're all pretty much my mom's. I mean, I came up with a few, but my mom really mastered fast, easy, and delicious, all her life. She's had to work multiple jobs and feed a whole family and, you know, keep my type 1 diabetic dad alive. And so what I realized is that she has something that we all need, and that's the formula for quick and delicious food. So I sat down with her and we collaborated on this book. And, you know, people are always asking me how I eat, what do I eat? And I think that the biggest component for me to have lost 40 pounds and maintained it was taking control of my diet and cooking for myself. And so I hope that this will help people do the same.
And it's hard, right, Maria? Growing up in a household where if you didn't take seconds and thirds, they either thought there was something wrong with the food or something wrong with you.
Yeah, I know. It's part of the culture, right? Like, you got to finish everything on your plate, Maria. So I used to go to the bathroom. If we didn't like something, like my mom used to make kilopites, which was like a Greek pasta dish, and I hated it. I would stuff it in my mouth and spit it out in the toilet.
Yeah, laughs at it now.
And
how many trips to the bathroom does it take before you finish all of it? Oh, look how much Maria likes it. Give her more.
I know. I used to wish I had a dog. I was like, why don't we have a dog I could feed?
The book out and available everywhere. The video piece in your presentation tomorrow on Today. And follow you online at Maria Menounos, M-E-N-O-U-N-O-S, Maria Menounos, on social media.
Thank you.
And, yeah, it's always great talking to you. We're big fans. Nick, you want to say hi to Maria?
I do. I want to say hi to Maria because, I like to get to the theaters early enough to see First Look.
Oh, my God. I love you, Nick.
No, you do a great job with that. Amazing. And I'm always Shazamming while you're on screen.
Nice. Thank you so much.
Sure.
And are you ever going to do any more acting? I mean, I know you pop up on stuff, but is that a secret passion that maybe you chase it a lot more?
I haven't in a while. I do love it. It's so much fun. But when you're hosting a daily show, it's
hard.
Really, really hard.
Yeah,
and sure. So I don't know how much of that is in my future unless, you know, things change and I'm not hosting a daily show and I can pursue it. I don't think that will happen for a while.
Favorite dream for the summer? Red Sox Cubs World Series?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, you'd love that. And we'd straighten you out. We'd get you one of those Cubs hats you could wear with your Red Sox jersey.
We'd straighten you out. I'm the most unstraightenable out person you're ever going to meet. I can't straighten my Boston out.
All Boston all the time. One more from Andrea.
Hey, Maria, did you get a cameo in my Big Fat Greek Wedding, too? Because Devlantis and I were trying to lobby Nia Vardalos, and she never got back to us.
Yeah, no, I never, no.
See,
not at all.
She's dissing us all. She forgot her roots.
Bunch of non
Greeks. She has enough grief.
Well, so, yeah.
A bunch of non-Greeks in the thing, you know. And when is that going to be a campaign issue that you three weren't in the movie? All right. You are great always, and I appreciate you coming on. Congratulations on the book, The Every Girl's Guide. And go get it. Get two copies. You're careless. You'll lose the first one. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
See ya. We just locked into something there.
What's that?
I don't know if we can isolate it, but her real laugh versus her charity laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Because the last one was a charity laugh because it sounded sort of normal. You know what I'm talking about, Nick?
I do.
The real laugh sounds like... the charity laugh was like a normal laugh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to make you feel good about what you said.
Right.
Why do I want to highlight that? Then, she charity laughed me. It's 9:20. Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
Youngest man who works on the radio, this is all you need to know. He will always eat bacon and fries, and he'll only supersize everything he gets from Mickey D's. He does all the sound cues right, and in between he will take a bite of anything that lies within his reach. I'd like to introduce to you, he's disappointing, Kevin.
So much of that song now sounds like an oldie. It's the new Skinny Kevin.
Right?
See, eating healthy, Kevin, has ruined it for everybody. Here's former producer of the show, Kevin Poe.
Former producer?
Well, I mean, you know, you just haven't shown up for a few days. What am I, you know, what am I supposed to do? I don't know.
I miss you, but I didn't know I was officially a former producer, Steve. I will return.
Oh, you will? Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. Kevin's changed in so many ways, too. I found something on Twitter of you saying I-L-L-I-N-I, Kev.
Yeah, that was when the news was breaking on Saturday.
Really, Kev?
And I was, well, it was sort of how should I say? It was a half-assed INI, to be honest.
Well, we have
I was just going along with Mark Carmen.
We have a three-school-plus debate that goes on here all the time. You and Mary in the Illini.
Right.
Dave Northwestern, Kevin Illinois State, Ross Bradley. And me, drop out of Ithaca College.
Right.
And me, drop out of Columbia.
Yeah, so there you go. But if you put Nick and my college experience together, we're only 2 years short of a degree. So we got that going for us. So the reason we asked Kevin to join us before he joins his new best friend, Ro Khan. Kevin will be on with Ro Khan doing
I thought
sports.
I was your best friend.
Nick, you are. You are my best friend. He's spreading lies, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay, Max.
Kevin will be out with Road Con doing sports next couple of days. And doing a great job, by the way. But the reason we wanted you on, we wanted to see if you were alive after doing the stair climb yesterday, the Fight for Life, Fight for Air stair climb.
So after the climb yesterday, I was just kind of just wiped out, tired.
Yeah.
Kind of lounged around. This morning when I woke up, I was a little nervous to get out of bed because I thought right when I stood up, I would feel the soreness in my legs, the burning. But there's nothing. They just kind of feel tired and weak, so I'm okay.
Second day.
I'm alive.
Wait till tomorrow.
Second day.
Is that what happens?
Yes. Work out today. Work out today and you'll feel
Well, you got to work out today, but you also got to drink chocolate milk or other things that are protein stuff. You got to replace the lactic acid.
Bananas, too.
All right. I'll eat
so you need chocolate milk, bananas. Yeah, chocolate milk and bananas today.
A lot of water. I'll be in the bathroom all day.
I have to say, Kevin did great, though, because this is not easy. It's what is 180 stories that you're climbing?
Well, it's nice of you to say, but he is 26.
Yeah, he's a lot younger than us, Dave.
He is a few years younger than us. That's true. But Mary, you and I had done this before, and Kevin hadn't.
Yeah, and we were preparing him, weren't we, Kev? We're like, take it easy, you know, take it slow. Don't do two stairs at a time. He whips past us. We're like, what are you doing?
What was your time?
My time was 32 minutes of climbing time.
In four towers.
That's really good.
In four towers.
And what'd you have, Dave?
36, which was 2 minutes faster than last year.
And Mary, you were about the same?
I was about the same, but I was 3 minutes slower than last year.
Yeah. Well, you just got back from a drunken vacation.
I told you. Yeah. It killed me.
It took me 36 minutes to go up two flights of stairs yesterday.
And that was in an elevator.
Hello!
Well, congratulations. I supported all three of you. I donated to all three of your campaigns.
Thank you
And
for
we
doing
appreciate
that.
It. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the one thing we wanted to know is, will you be filing formal charges against Jimmy DeCastro, your boss?
Yeah, I'm actually coming in a little early to make sure I had plenty of time to go express my complaints to the HR department. So,
right.
I'll be in shortly and heading straight to HR.
Here's how the HR complaints work with DeCastro. They go, okay, your complaint is, oh, well, yes, and I'm sorry, who did this? Jimmy DeCastro? They wad it up and throw it in your face. They go, get out of my office.
I threatened him. I said I was going to HR. He said, yeah, get in line.
All right. Have fun with Ro today.
I miss you guys. See you soon.
Yeah, same to you.
All right.
Sure,
I don't think he misses us. No.
Misses us like Coach Q wants to hear from me later this week.
He got to sleep in. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
At KPaul720 on social media for Kevin. I might as well start doing all the
points. Send him some bananas.
Yeah, and chocolate milk.
And chocolate milk.
It's 9:28. We'll come back. Still to come on the program, Doc Emmerich, after living out a boyhood dream. Doc Emmerich got to call an inning of Pittsburgh Pirates baseball the other day, and as a kid that grew up as a Pirate fan, he was obviously thrilled. But we'll talk to Doc about that coming up. It's the Steve Cochran Show, and this is live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on 720 WGN.
Looks like he's mixing them up pretty well. I like the fastball. You know, I've got to divorce myself from cheering. Oh, yes. A called third strike. A broken bat number. Fair ball down the left field line. Mercer round second, heads for third. And pulling up short and heading back to first base now is Elias Diaz. First and third, and nobody out.
Come on, how much fun was that? The best to ever call a hockey game gets his boyhood dream in and gets to call a Pirates game. I think it happened just Friday as our friend Doc Emmerich joins us. How much fun did you have?
It was a lot of fun. What was your favorite baseball team growing up?
I grew up as a Yankees, Baltimore Orioles, Chicago Cubs hybrid fan because I was in upstate New York. Nothing was close to us.
Ah, so let's say Yankees, and they invite you to come out to a spring training game and shag flies. And then they come up to you after you shag some flies and say, by the way, you're going to play a couple innings today.
It's ridiculous.
That's what it was like. It was just a lot of fun. It was a little scary at first because calling a baseball game, and I've never done it other than one time while I was in college, calling a baseball game is a lot different because you have so much time. And the good thing is there were a couple of people alongside to help me, but there is a lot of time between pitches.
Well, that's why the great storytellers are so fantastic in baseball, right? But the pace of the game, I'm surprised you don't have whiplash. To go from calling hockey to calling baseball, you know, I thought maybe a neck brace would be appropriate.
Well, you have to wear well on people for 162 games and occasional rain delays. And some of the guys in the city still take phone calls during rain delays. There's just an awful lot to it. But yet, you know, people marvel at basketball and hockey. And I'm sure Dave understands this comparison, too. But I maintain that baseball may be next to horse racing. And I know you had Coach Q on, and there's some big announcement coming up. Now tell me, because I'm going to try and find out when this announcement happens. Is it about a horse?
It is not about a horse. I will text you the gory details.
Okay. Just tell me when I should be listening.
You
that's
got
all.
It.
But anyway, I think the most pressure is probably on horse racing, because if I get an assist wrong, they don't pound on the door wanting to break my arm. But baseball is probably the one that strikes me as being the most involving, because you really have to wear well on the ear of the fans, and you have to have a lot of knowledge and be able to tell stories, like you said. And for that, you need to be really deep in the sport, and that's something that I am as a fan, but I'm certainly not as an announcer.
And I think, Doc, good morning. I think what makes it really difficult is if you drop in and do a game here in spring training, and granted it's early in the year, or a game, say, in the middle of a 10-game homestand in June, but you're not with the ball club day in and day out, I think it makes it a lot tougher, because the guys who do it 162 games, and I think you know where I'm going with this, I mean, they're in the clubhouse every day, and they know every detail involving that team.
You're right. And I didn't realize what the day is like. Now, for hockey, it's 10:30 home team, 11:30 visiting team, and then the game is at night. With baseball, you can go over as early as 7 in the morning and stay until batting practice, which is 9:30. Then you can come back and talk again between 12 and 1, and the game's at 1. And so that's your day. And I realized the first day I showed up on the job, I already missed 2.5 hours of available time.
And by the way,
the rookie blew it right at the start.
Well, by the way, Doc, as was well documented in the Brian Gumbel piece on HBO in Real Sports, Doc has a very expansive routine he does before games. He goes around, says hello to everybody, collects his stories. Obviously, he's at the morning skates and different things. But, yeah, it's remarkable, really, how different baseball is from what you do.
And the fact that these guys do it year after year and do such a marvelous job, I mean, you're spoiled there in Chicago with some wonderful announcers, too. And I just think that I turn on the radio in the summertime, and it's relaxation for me, except if the Pirates are starting off poorly in a game. But I do listen or watch a lot of their games in the summertime. But it's a part of escape and relaxation for me But for those guys, it's a living, and to be able to provide all of this information. Well, I just realized that I did two innings, and perhaps again on Wednesday they're inviting me on television, and so I might do another.
Oh, you got it. You've got to do it.
But yeah, it'll be with Steve Blass, who is hilarious, and Greg Brown again, who is this guy that loves hockey, and so that's how we struck up a friendship in the first place. But yeah, you get excited about it, but by the same token, you realize hockey is my first love, so that's almost like a bride, and this is like a granddaughter, and you get a dance with her, and the last thing you want to do is step on her feet. So I just want to do a good job and relax and enjoy it, and so that's what I keep telling myself. It's like the golf swing that's printed on the shirts, where you look down to address the golf ball, and there are five things you need for a good golf swing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, those are the things, and the number one thing is don't overthink it. So I'm just going in with the idea of having more fun, yeah, like I did this past week. But it's a lifetime memory that I get two cracks at.
Hey, Doc, it's Nick DiGilio here. I wanted to say, first of all, I'm a huge fan. You are the best. I wanted to ask you what it's like to work with Edzo. You guys are so great together, and it's so great to have the two of you. When you guys call in games, especially as a Hawks fan, it's so much fun to listen to you guys. What's it like working with Ed?
I think Pat would probably have the same answer that I do. It helps to really like the guy that you're alongside.
Yeah.
And Eddie and I are friends, and I think, you know, our families care about one another, etc. But I think too, and I've told Steve this before, that we look out for one another, and Eddie has done such a great job of that during the time that we've worked together. We first did radio of the National Hockey League playoff games over 20 years ago. And then here it is, we're back working together on a regular basis again. You need to know a little bit about horses. That helps. You need to know, you have to be a Cubs sympathizer, which for me, given my background, is a little hard. But he arranged to have the Cubs Pirates one-game playoff put in our studio, in our booth last year.
How about that?
And the results were disastrous. And he politely said nothing. You know, a lot of times you just wish he'd start yeah, the routine, but he said nothing until the game was over. And he didn't even rub it in then. I think he knew I was suffering mightily.
He's a good friend.
You didn't punch a Gatorade jug or anything repeatedly that night. Did you punch a Gatorade jug at all?
Oh, no, I didn't do that, but I didn't do a Sean Rodriguez, but right, I was thinking of it. But, no, I have kept glancing at the screen whenever we went to commercial, which is people who watch our shows. That does happen quite a bit. And so I was able to check in on the score, and I just looked at Eddie and shook my head, and he sort of smiled and didn't say anything.
It's a testament to Doc's professionalism. We didn't know the pain he was in. I do have to say, though, our friend Eddie, who was in here last week, by the way, Eddie looks great. You know, Eddie's lost like 45 pounds in the last couple of years.
He's lost a ton of weight, and he's got hair.
Yeah, and he keeps putting more hair in.
Yeah.
You know, spring planting season.
Hey, he looks good.
But I got to tell you something, Doc, and you may not be aware of this. Eddie has a strong crush on Andrea Darlis. And I almost feel like I'm a fight referee, and I have to break up the clinch whenever he comes
for
a hug.
Don't break that up. Don't break that up.
Andre is also very well schooled in horses.
Oh, I know, Doc. I know. I hang on every word when you.
I think that's probably part of the attraction.
Yeah.
He may be patting you down for a racing form. I don't know what the hell.
Doc, you got a bad. No, I was totally psyched when you were doing the pirate call too, because I was a big fan of the Pirates when in the We Are Family. You know, that era from the 70s, Bill Madlock, and I always like the yellow uniforms. Now, I don't know a man alive who does, but...
Yeah,
they're great. And I think they're bringing back the old caps, right, Doc?
So cool.
They're going to bring back a uniform that's on Sunday, but they've politely not told us about it, but I think it'll probably be something pretty cool.
Well, Doc, I was going to say, Doc, as a baseball fan, you'll appreciate the fact the White Sox are bringing back the blouses for a throwback game this summer. You remember those things they wore with shorts? They're not doing the shorts, but the blouses are coming back.
Oh, my. You know, I just was Bill Veeck, of course, operated the team there on the south side for a long time. And his son, Michael, operates the St. Paul Saints in the Pioneer League and has all of these wild promotions. He has a pig that brings out the balls to the umpire if they need a fresh set of balls out at home plate. And there's a Catholic nun named Sister Roz that gives massages. And they have a haircutting place behind, but they have promotions all summer long. And so one of the things, one of the many things on the list of things I'd like to do before I shuffle off is to see a Saints game. And so I think hopefully the way the standings are today, it's Chicago, Minnesota, if it winds up being in the first round. So hopefully I'll get a chance to see not only the Wild and the Hawks, but the Saints sometime soon.
We like to schedule the Wild in the first two rounds to eliminate them. It's kind of an annual tradition.
It seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Well, congrats, man. I know how much fun you must have had, and have fun this week. We'll talk to you later.
Well, speaking of fun, I have that a lot listening to you, and I wish you guys well, and I'll be watching for that announcement with Joel.
Look, wait, keep an eye on your text. Thanks, bud. That's
okay.
Doc Emmerich. Doc Emmerich, live from his Pittsburgh Pirate Shrine.
Love him.
So, I mean, you do baseball, Dave. You know, I mean, the variation between hockey and baseball, it couldn't be anything more extreme.
Well, first of all, I think, personally, hockey has to be the hardest sport.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's masterful, obviously. But, yeah, I think it's very tough to just drop in and do baseball.
Man.
And I did a fair share of it, and it's you just
even the pace from football.
If you do 2 days in a row, it makes a difference.
Yeah,
it really does.
You're
you
right.
know it's, what's funny is what he said during the clip that you played. It's going to be hard for me to keep my bias in check. He didn't.
No, he's a Pirate fan.
Exactly.
Grew up a Pirate fan. What do you want from him, right? 9:51. Bill and Wendy coming up. Special guests on We're Out of Time Today, Bill and Wendy. Nice to have you guys in here early enough so I don't run you late.
Oh, I mean,
I think I can still do it.
Yo, you can still do it. I like the way you say kiln. It's really kiln. Sexy when you say. Can you say it one more time?
Kiln.
God, something about the way you say
hot.
It. It's kind of
hot.
It's very hot.
Kind of hot. Any prize plugs, guys, that I need to do before we're done? You let me know. In the meantime, we did not mention Ray Tomlinson, the inventor of email.
Yes.
Made a difference in all of our lives.
He's ruined my life. I can't keep up.
I just received word that he will be buried in a spam file. been waiting all morning to find
very
room for
funny.
It.
Very good.
Kiln. No, say kiln one more time.
Kiln.
I like the way you say kiln.
Kiln. Did you guys have a nice weekend?
This was a pretty nice weekend. I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah.
Let's go with Wendy. What'd you do?
Don't remember.
And Bill, how about you?
I wrote a play about Peyton Manning.
You did?
Yes.
Do you have untitled at this point?
No, or? I got the title. It's called Peyton Place.
And, Peyton Place!
We're going to do it at the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse Saturday.
What will you be serving?
There will be yams.
Oh, I love yams.
Come on out. Some tickets are still
you
available.
You really like yams?
I do like yams.
Dave, you want to come out? There will be yams.
No, I don't like yams.
No.
What?
Well,
you don't like yams?
No, I guess I like yams.
I was going to say, very entity.
You buckled the yam
isn't
peer
a yam,
pressure.
Isn't a yam a sweet potato?
Yes it is.
Yeah. I like sweet potatoes.
Now, look at the way Dave buckled the yam peer pressure.
Do you like yaks?
They're okay.
Because Bill hairy. Makes a great yak.
Yeah. Alphabetically, my meal always consists of yams and yaks together because I cook alphabetically.
And you can bring it full circle. Yam and yak are the new morning show on B96. Yeah, they're going to be great.
All right, I'll be there.
All right. It's going to be tremendous.
Tickets are still available.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Who's playing Peyton?
We're talking to Walter Jacobson about playing the role.
Oh, that'd be great.
We're in discussions with him.
He's a good actor.
He's a very good actor.
He had a puck in his pants last week, too.
Yes, he did. Did you hear Walter with a puck
in
his pants?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. For those of you wondering why the Stevie Awards weren't on today, and I know that's all of you, we did some additional sort of tinkering with the Stevie Awards, and we may hold it now until Thursday.
Oh.
We've got to make sure our graphic arts department has their certificates completely prepared. And by certificates, I mean piece of paper with my head on it.
How will it fit?
Yes. Well, the awards actually are written. So, for instance, if you won Best Participation in the Steve Cochran Show 2015 for that one thing you did at that time in that place, it would all fit on half of my forehead.
Excellent.
I tease because I love, you know.
All right, Bill and Wendy right now, and we will see you back here tomorrow.